Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, David Gaspers, and I'm with Boomer.
Well, I know you see the four of us here. We did want to invite Redcast Honky onto the show tonight. However, we discussed as a committee, and we felt although his body of podcast work was great this year, the hangnail he suffered following the Maryland game, he's just not the same podcaster he was. So, unfortunately, he won't be joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's not the most deserving, Boomer. It's the best four at the time. And exactly. Redcast Honky just not a very good podcaster right now.
And no, somehow I'm right? Still here.
I mean, that's an indictment on Redcast Honky at this present moment. Before I get to Redcast Rob, I got Talon on. What's up, Talon?
How you guys doing? I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, yes. Talon, I don't want to talk too much. You had a little bit of this is a classic Nebraska college kid story where you're going back to your hometown, a little bit of an accident on a road, and you got a little dinged up yourself, right?
Yeah, just a little bit. Came away with only a concussion, somehow very, very fortunate and lucky. I don't know how, but
yeah, I've seen some of the pictures of the car and it got the worst of it, apparently.
So first I want to help him out though, too. The way to do this next time is be like, I'm really glad to be back after being in the concussion protocol for the last 2 months. We are a football podcast for the most part. So you're supposed to you could have been like, I was in, but in your defense, you did have a concussion, so it's probably hard for you to come up with that.
Yeah, I think I'm still recovering a little bit. I'm a little slower than I used to be, so it's kind of difficult.
You're still faster than Rob, Talon. That's okay.
Yeah,
that's not a compliment, David. That's
not a compliment. Hey, I'm in the best shape I've been in since I was 25 years old.
Oh, so. I've heard it all the time. Rob.
Yeah.
All right, I'm also with Redcast Rob, obviously.
Well, after much discussion with the No Block, No Rock and the Gen Red podcast, it was announced on Twitter this week. I have decided to stay with the Go, be entering the transfer portal.
NIL money here for you.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is that I am now officially sponsored by Aloe Fiber. So none of you are, but they're actually officially paying me now. So, Redcast Rob brought to you by Aloe Fiber.
You could say that that's a sponsorship. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's them being kind, that's good. So, can I do our housekeeping stuff?
Speaking of sponsors, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we'd like to thank our sponsors at Alumni Hall. Make sure to get all of your Husker gear in the off season, all of your Christmas presents through all of the wonderful sales that they're having right now. Hanukkah too, if that's your jam, like it is for me. I get both Hanukkah and Christmas, so
double.
And they have two locations. One is on P Street in downtown Lincoln, and the other is at the South Point Pavilions, just on the other side of Barnes and Noble. So please make sure to go check them out. Also, our friends over at Smack and Smooch, Laura and Shane, they do all of our Redcast gear for us. They do a fantastic job. They can also do all of your gear for you if you want to contact them for a corporate event, a family reunion. If you guys are just taking a trip to Disneyland and you want to have them print up some shirts for your family, like all those other stupid families.
Did you do that, Rob?
No, we bought our own. Yeah, okay. We bought them. We did not have somebody print them up for us, and they were all Halloween themed and actually licensed Disney paraphernalia. And then finally, guys, this is going to be kind of a longer one here, but I just want to remind everybody about the Team Jack Foundation. that is currently funding 13 projects and collaborating with national institutions such as the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, the Memorial Sloan Kettinger Cancer Center, and Columbia University. To date, they've raised over $12 million and counting, finding better treatments for kids fighting brain cancer and hopefully a cure. And why? It's because the treatments currently used are 45 plus years old and super, super toxic for these kids. Most of them, even when they survive cancer, end up with lifelong deficits due to their toxic treatments. So I don't know how many of you have had a loved one or a family member, and I'm sure most of you have. It's a terrible thing. My dad is a cancer survivor. He has neuropathy in both his feet, which means he has no feeling there. He can't see out of one eye. He's blind in the other. His hearing's completely gone. And that's all after cancer treatment. So, you know, Team Jack is trying to make sure that these kids don't live their entire lives like this. And one of the largest projects is at the University of Nebraska Medical Center for them and the creation of Nebraska Childhood Brain Tumor Program. So, you know, if you ever want to donate money to a good cause, and especially today is Colorado Gives Day. So this is very appropriate. You know what, Nebraskans, you may not want to give to any Colorado charities, but feel free to go on and throw some cash Team Jack's way, because let me tell you what, the work that they're doing over there is absolutely fantastic, and I cannot speak to it enough.
That's awesome, Rob. Great read there. Is there a Nebraska Gives Day, Boomer? Yeah, is there such a thing termed in Nebraska?
No, I think we chose Arbor Day over that when it came down to.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool, though, here in Colorado, or at least in Greeley. So what we did, my Rotary, 10 hours on the radio today and 15-minute segments for all the different nonprofits that exist here in Weld County, Colorado. It was pretty cool. So they got to come on and do a 15-minute pitch for why you should donate to their cause. And it was 10 hours.
Were you on?
I was not. I'm training for my new job with Aloe Fiber right now. And so I couldn't get away.
I didn't hear that. I didn't know, Rob.
Yeah. I just started yesterday. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So it's, I may be out in Lincoln sometime doing some training, and hopefully they send me to Arizona too, because I may have to bring my golf clubs for that.
Yeah. No kidding. All right, guys. Well, we took last week off. And I know Rob's got a great show set up next week. We'll have a couple shows here to get ready for bowl season. Before we talk about the bowls, which we will talk a little bit about, even though Nebraska is not in it, we'll talk college football playoff. We'll talk about the restructuring of the entire college football landscape. The announcement today of NCAA proposal. Boomer, I'll let you cover that a little bit. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about transfer portal, and let's throw up the scarlet colored glasses real quick here and talk all things Nebraska football. And yes, it is portal season. That's the name of the show. And it is a wild out there. Portal opened up yesterday, I don't know, at 8 a.m. or whatever. And we're taking a deep dive into it. And I think Matt Rule and Marcus Satterfield are ahead of us. Already been in the living rooms of Will Howard, former K-State starting quarterback that actually took over for Adrian Martinez when he got banged up last year and performed quite well. Looking at Sam Levitt, a quarterback at Michigan State, who played a little bit this year. And then most recently, just a few hours ago, supposedly, Satterfield was in Columbus, Ohio, to visit Kyle McCord. Boomer, you know, Matt Rule made a lot of media headlines earlier this week, or last week, when he said that a top flight quarterback in the portal is going for $1.5-2 million. Some people have refuted that, but Cam Ward is supposedly has at least 8 offers of over $1 million, so at least a few quarterbacks may be at that price tag. What do you think Rule was trying to advertise when he had that quote? And do you think we're going to pay that much?
That's a good question, Dave. I think maybe there was a little bit of advertisement, you know, behind all that, you know, just kind of saying, well, here's what, you know, we think we would pay for a quarterback. And maybe it was a little snide way to get kind of around the, you know, coaching isn't supposed to directly be involved with NIL.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. So that could be what he did there. So, yeah, and it is interesting just kind of seeing the quarterbacks they have pursued. I don't know if anyone would have expected, you know, to go after McCord quite like that, especially since he's got more of a reputation as kind of the drop back passer, but you know,
could
he
have
does
used
raise
one
questions.
Of those this year, honestly.
Well, yes, we could have, but it, you know, in terms of mobility, he's certainly not what you'd ask for a running quarterback at all. Just from what I've seen of the stats,
nor was Spencer Rattler, and Satterfield took him at South Carolina. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is interesting just to see the names that they're, you know, being associated with, and there has been some, you know, more steamed that, you know, McCord talk. I know Steve Sipples posted more on that, so that he seems to think there's a lot of potential or possibility there. So it is interesting just to kind of see what directions they're going with quarterbacks and what that might say for what their offensive plan is going forward next season. I know that was always something people wanted to know, kind of what the hell is our offense doing this year, and maybe this will give you a better idea of what exactly they really want to run when it comes to what quarterback are they looking to bring in. So
yeah, that's a good point. Talon, it's crazy season right now, right? I mean, I have no idea how many players we'll actually get from the portal, but it definitely seems that we're going to get at least one quarterback, maybe two. And there's two different profiles out there, right? I think you've got the Will Howard and Tom McCord. There's others like DJU or Cam Ward that fit the QB1 mold, right? They are transferring with expectations of starting. They're also transferring probably to play 1 year and try to increase their NFL stock and move on. And then you have others like Aiden Childs, who leaving Oregon State, and Moore from UCLA, young guys, lots of potential, 5 stars leaving after 1 year, essentially. Or maybe a 4-star like Sam Leavitt, who might still be a little bit more development oriented. Do you favor one over the other right now for Nebraska?
I don't think it's so early on right now. I don't think you can favor one in particular, but I think it kind of goes back to the offseason.
Style wise, I guess.
Style wise.
Do you like the one and done, or do you like the three in development?
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to the 1 year. I mean, obviously you do the 3 year, but how much do we believe in the freshman coming in with Kalen, right? I mean, how much potential do we see in him to maybe let him, you know, sit for a year and let him, you know, kind of get his roots dug in here in Nebraska and things like that. And at UNL, I should say. So I wouldn't be opposed to the 1 year, 1 year quarterback, but kind of going back to the Kyle McCord situation. I mean, that's kind of what we had kind of talked about in the offseason, that Rule kind of wanted to run. He didn't want to run all this quarterback run game. I mean, he kind of wanted to let the run game be the running backs. And if we have to run it with the quarterback, we'll do it. I don't think he foresaw, you know, one of our leading rushers being our quarterback. Yeah. Right. So, yeah.
Or all the injuries.
I mean, we were decimated. So, yeah. And maybe I think that was a big problem with maybe getting Sims. Cause I don't know if they just didn't watch enough tape on him, or they believed in him too much. But I don't think Sims was maybe what they thought they were getting when they got him. I think Kyle McCord would fit Satterfield's offense perfectly, really, because he wants all those reads and things like that. And he's coming from Ohio State, where they're running a complex offense with Ryan Day, and they're trying to get it to their guys in open space and get it to a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think Kyle McCord would fit very nicely, where we can hand it off to the three running backs we're going to have playing for us next year.
Yeah. And McCord could scramble a little bit, you know, and maybe look at all the NFL quarterbacks that will run for 4 or 5 yards, right? You know, I mean, he's not going to break it like 55 like Chubbo or 75 like Heinrich, probably.
No.
Right. But I mean, he's an athlete, right?
Well, and they looked at Blake Shapen too from Baylor. They went to talk to him.
I think Shapen's definitely a fallback. Mm-hmm. We'll let's talk about it for just 1 second, then I'll throw it to you, Rob. I mean, Shapen is someone who probably, the years are so confusing at this point, right, guys? But I think Shapen probably was recruited by Rule. That far ago, right? He actually led Baylor in Aranda's first year to win the Big 12 championship. He doesn't have like crazy numbers, but he has a good TD INT ratio. He definitely can sling the ball. He does run a bit, and he's got all that experience, right? I mean, he's been banged up at times, but definitely not a bad backup plan, or something like Will Howard in Common Court doesn't come through. Rob, what are your thoughts right now?
Well, so just kind of going back and reevaluating everything that we saw this year, and man, the season just kind of flew by, I will say that. And so it just had to do with, I don't know if anxiety is the right word to use, but with me it is. And but guys like McCord seem to make sense to me, mostly in that, like, what I feel like we could have seen, if that makes sense, with the way that they're recruiting, like the wide receivers they're recruiting, the guys like, I mean, God, how good did those freshmen look towards the end of the year? I mean, I realized that they didn't have a ton of yards and they didn't have a ton of catches, but then again, you have to consider who was throwing them the ball, right? But like,
sure,
you know, so I think that I'm really interested to see the kind of guy they got, because to Talon's point, which Talon, I love it when you make those kind of points, is that, yeah, he wanted the running game to be the running game, not the quarterback to be the running game, which, you know, really only leaves one other option, which is a quarterback that maybe, Dave, you're right, can run when he needs to. But for the most part, we need a guy that can sit there, get to like a 2-3 count in the pocket and throw the ball downfield, or, you know, drop it off to like a tight end over the middle or something like that. And I mean, that's kind of what I saw this offense as being. It just never got there this year, right? Like, these quarterbacks were kind of like run first, throw second in a lot of ways. And it just didn't allow a lot of these plays to develop. So,
well, if you kind of look back at the first couple of games, I mean, it kind of looked like that's what they wanted Sims to do, was try to make all those reads. And it just obviously.
The Minnesota game is a great example where they had him throwing aggressively down the field.
And he couldn't make those reads that we needed him to make. And then you look like at the Harburg situation, where how many times did we watch Fedoni run over the middle and Harburg just absolutely overthrow him, or throw him too short, or throw him behind him and it gets intercepted, or it's a dangerous pass.
Okay. Now you're just depressing me.
Well, I mean, season. As Vegas Jerry says, we always win the offseason. We've already started that. So let's not think about last season's failures. We're going to win the offseason. And I think, you know, I mean, look, I'll tell you right now, if we get Kyle McCord or Will Howard, that would be winning the offseason, because even though Kyle McCord maybe isn't up to the expectations of Ohio State, who has CJ Stroud and Justin Fields, you know, and in recent memory, but it would be a huge upgrade for us. And with Kyle McCord, I think you can paint a picture next year of having a successful season. I mean, it's not that he's going to be perfect, right, or go in the Heisman for us, but from making the reads, making the throws, he's got an arm. You know, I think that that's something. We need the offensive line to develop, and we need running backs to get healthy. Maybe we do get one transfer running back. Wide receiver wise, we've got a JUCO guy potentially out there. Maybe we get one transfer. I believe Fleming from Ohio State, Marcus Fleming, I believe. I can't remember if that was that our Fleming or their Fleming, but the Fleming at Ohio State is also in the transfer portal. Maybe McCord and him are a combo deal, right? You know, but I think what we have in our favor this year, opposed to last year, besides the timing thing, right? We didn't even have. When did Rule get hired last year, Boomer? About this time, right?
Right after Iowa.
Right about, it was pretty close right after Iowa.
So he was, he was definitely behind the eight ball there, and he took the flyer on Jeff Sims. We can debate all day long whether that was bad evaluation, et cetera. But, I mean, if you look at the rankings last year of the transfer portal, I think Jeff Sims was somewhere around 14 or 15, something like that, in the quarterback portal. This year, right now, I'm looking at 24/7 Sports. The number 14 QB in the portal right now is DJU. Do you think Jeff Sims and DJU are comparable? I think DJ is a better quarterback than Jeff Sims ever was. Grayson McCall is the 13th best quarterback right now in the portal. Grayson McCall is like a seventh-year guy who has a TD to INT ratio of 88 to 14. Sure, he's played in the system down there, but you want someone with experience and we've seen a lot and can run the ball. Similar, Grayson McCall might still be on the list, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks out here that have potential to be an upgrade for Nebraska, right? And I do think maybe there's a chance to get two of them if we want to have a developmental player and a one and done. Boomer?
No, I think that's probably a good approach, is that you do need both of those. I just think, just with the nature of our current quarterback room, I think you do have to have somebody to fill in next year that probably can start right away. I know we've talked with Honky. He wants to make sure there's a, you know, quarterback competition, you know, next year with everybody. And that's fair. But I also think, you know, with the quarterback market, what it is now, if you can get somebody who can come in and play right away, I think you can take that chance, especially for next season. If you're trying to be that developmental program, you know, you've got Kalen coming in. I don't think you want to start him as a true freshman yet, but, you know, just bide some time, just keep building up that offensive side of the ball. And I think it would make sense to bring somebody like that in, especially, you know, I think next year you want to maximize your chance of making a bowl next year, because another year of not making a bowl would not do your program any favors. It would not do your developmental end of it any favors.
Agreed.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, we had a lot of, you know, it's been good this year just with the players we've had. We've had very few portal entries. Apple Cat, I think, was the only scholarship player so far that I've noticed that entered. So that's been something. And I guess that's a question I'd have for you guys. Do you feel more confident in the season next year with so few people transferring or leaving the program? Does that set your bar higher for what you expect out of next season? Or is it about the same? Or what do you think on that?
I mean, I'm going to say that
White stayed, which helped. You know, I think that helped everybody's prognostication. But what about the team itself?
I would say it sets it higher for me because again, everything that Rule preaches is that he's a developmental coach, right? And so obviously he's got a bunch of kids that are buying into that right now. I mean, the kids that have left are the ones that are going to the NFL. And I mean, other than that, we're kind of sitting pretty from, you know, avoiding a bunch of kids transferring out. I mean, fortunately, we're not anything like Colorado where, you know, everybody is transferring out at this point, including their coaches, apparently. So, I mean, that's kind of where they're at. But I mean, I have every expectation next year that he needs to make a bowl. I mean,
I agree. Yeah,
you know, and
regardless of who the quarterback is, really, right, Rob?
Yeah, it is, regardless of who it is. But hopefully we get one or two guys in there, and hopefully the 1890 initiative is stepping it up big right now. I don't care if they don't pay an NIL to another kid on the team, as long as they get us at least one quarterback. Two would be really nice. And with Kalen coming up, Kalen seems to fit the mold of what they're looking for, you know, in that regard too. And he's familiar with some of these wide receivers that are, again, local kids. They're Nebraska kids on the field. You know what I mean? Doss, Malachi. You know what I mean? Those are two kids that are
And those,
they grew up together, all of them, really playing against each other the whole time.
We do have some talented, you know, freshmen that could be coming in right out of Bellevue West. Even if Danny Kalen doesn't start right away, his wide receivers might actually have a contribution.
Yeah. I mean, and Rule loves playing freshmen. We learned that this year, and it's a beautiful thing.
I do think that, generally speaking, like, I do think Rule wants to make sure that the players that earn money on the field gets that money through NIL, like Ty Robinson. I really hope that Ty Robinson got a pretty penny for staying an extra year. And that's where I think Rule wants to prioritize NIL just as much as bringing people in with NIL, is keeping a player another year or making sure he doesn't leave to anywhere else. But when you have an opportunity to upgrade a quarterback, and in reality is I still don't think Jeff Sims will be here next year. Maybe he sticks around, I guess, but it seems unlikely. In reality is you got to have at least one to replace that position, which would be kind of the Kyle McCord type spot. And then you're really missing someone in the gap there between Purdy, Harburg, and then an incoming Kalen. You would typically want someone like Sam Lovett in that position. I mean, so it makes sense.
Yeah, here's a question from. Oh, I was just gonna.
When does the season start?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he's asking, if we bring in two quarterbacks, a day one starter and a developmental guy, what does that look like for our other developmental players like Purdy and Harburg at this point? Where do they fall in?
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime
on May 3rd. Summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I think if we have a day one starter, I mean, I think Rhule will tell everyone, hey, look, you're going to have to compete for it. And I think Kyle McCord or Will Rogers or Will Howard would be like, okay, I think I'm going to win, right? I mean, I don't think they're going to be afraid of anything there. At the same time, someone like Sam Levitt, who is – when Sam Levitt was – a senior in high school just last year, Chubba Purdy was starting a game for us last year, right? And Chubba Purdy started a game at Florida State in 2020 against NC State. Sam Levitt was a sophomore in high school in Oregon, right? Chubba Purdy's going to be 23, I think, starting next year, for goodness sakes. I mean, he might be okay with Kyle McCord being 1 year ahead of him. But I mean, he'll want an opportunity here real soon. Now, I don't know what that injury looks like and what type of surgery he's going to have to take. But I think he might be more understanding with Kyle McCord beating him out. I think he thinks he'll beat Sam Lovett out. Let's put it that way, right? Henrik Harburg, I don't know what his perception is. Maybe he really is going to stick with the quarterback situation in Nebraska. Totally see him doing that because he knows the attrition and the injuries and he might get another crack at this. Maybe he does see a future in football as an H-back or a tight end and sees that as a way to the NFL because he's very athletic. Maybe he wants to be a quarterback sooner and he feels like he's got enough on tape that he could get a max scholarship or something. I don't know. That's all a really good question, but he doesn't seem, again, we're all just projecting here, that does he have as high of a ceiling as Chubba Purdy? It doesn't seem that way to me. I don't know.
I mean, he runs the ball like a running back. I'll give him that.
You know, he's a great straight line runner. He's at crazy speed, right?
Like maybe
he doesn't have lateral.
No, maybe I can ask Rex next week if he thinks that Harvard would be a good fullback.
6'5" fullback that would be something.
I mean, you know, the kids are just getting bigger and stronger and faster these days. What are you going to do?
I guess the thing that worries me with the Kyle McCord quarterback competition is, isn't that why he left Ohio State? Because Ryan Day didn't promise him the quarterback position next year, the starting role.
Yeah, it might have been more worded more strongly, right? That they felt like already had someone in queue maybe he took that as a clear indication that they wanted somebody else.
Sorry, look,
we want somebody who beats Michigan.
One at a time, guys. Rob, you go first, then Boomer.
Well, I was just gonna say they want somebody who can beat Michigan, I guess.
That's
Stroud, and he didn't do it. So
yeah, I know. You can beat the Broncos, but not Michigan. Boomer.
No, I was gonna say that was about the similar thing. I he took a lot of abuse online this year from Buckeye fans, and I just angry about his performance in that Michigan game, and I could see, you know, wanting to change the scenery after something like that. I wouldn't blame a guy. So.
Yeah, he threw two INTs. His stat line, 3,100 yards, a really good TD INT ratio, like 5 or 6 to 1. But I mean, Ohio State, the offense was down this year, and they ultimately, you know, didn't win the game that they're supposed to win. So,
how does that factor into play with how much harassment he would take coming here if he doesn't play well in a couple of games or he goes to Iowa and doesn't play well, you know? So, I mean, you gotta have thick skin at the quarterback position because you don't play well. I mean, it's Ohio State. You went to Ohio State knowing their quarterback history. If you really, you know, you got to believe in yourself a little bit more to, you know.
That's why, Talon, I get you there totally 100%. I mean, I think just by having the experience of being the quarterback at Ohio State, that toughens them up for being the quarterback in Nebraska more so than other transfers. I mean, Casey Thompson, another great example who handled Texas. That transition just fine, right? Because he came from Texas. Maybe Jeff Sims wasn't the same thing. Again, I think maybe Ryan Day behind closed doors was more direct about his status, right? That they maybe already have someone like a Cam Ward already earmarked. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not saying Kyle McCord's perfect, and he definitely, it's not like getting CJ Stroud or Justin Fields, right? He didn't perform as well as those two quarterbacks in Ryan Day's system over the last, you know, 5 years. But compared to what we've seen, not just last year, but even over the last several years, he seems to take care of the ball better. He can make all the throws. It's still an upgrade, right?
Yeah.
I would say thing to Will Howard. We're talking about Kyle McCord. I don't know. I mean, Will Howard, to Boomer's point, more mobile, doesn't have quite as good of a stat line, but seems to be definitely a winner. I really like what he did at K-State. I like the K-State offense. I'd like to see us run more like that. I think he's highly desired by others too. So I'm not opposed to Will Howard either.
No.
No, yeah, Will definitely Howard would work this season. There's a lot of options out there and a lot of quarterbacks. Maybe that pulls the market value up and down a little bit. You know, supply is outstripping demand.
Yeah,
who knows?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I mean, so let's finish this off with, I'm just going to run down a list here from 24/7 of all the quarterbacks in the portal. You guys tell me stop when you're like, I would definitely take that guy. All right.
I was going to say, I'll be back in 20 minutes. Draft. Okay. I'll be back in all 20 right. minutes when you're done. I mean,
I think you take about anyone.
So,
really,
so you only get to say it once. So we only get four names you're going to throw out there. All right. So, this is just from the top of the list too. So number one on the list right now is Aiden Childs, who hasn't played at all at Oregon State, likely going to Michigan State. Dante Moore, UCLA guy. Don't know where he's going.
I'll take Dante Moore.
Okay. Right. So he played quite a bit, threw some INTs this year as a young quarterback in Chip Kelly's system, but you like Dante Moore's potential. Five-star guy that is off the roof potential wise. Cam Ward,
yeah, Will Howard, yeah, if,
yeah,
he's an option out there. I would not hesitate to bring him on. Yeah, he's got a
guy. Someone who I really liked that it doesn't seem to be an option. He's already going to Notre Dame. Riley Leonard, that would have been a great fit. Again, to your point, if they do want to run the quarterback, and a great competitor, seemed like Riley Leonard. Brock Vandergriff, who Boomer, was he the one that said they're just making up names for players?
Yeah, that's maybe come up with somebody on your, you know, EA sports game. You know, yeah.
Here's one that's interesting. I'm intrigued to see where he goes. And he's like another one of these 6 year guys, Daquan Finn, who's had a lot of success at Toledo.
Yeah, really, he's a dynamic player, I think. Didn't he in the portal?
Yeah.
I think he'll get some attention from some programs. I watched Toledo a little
Power
bit.
Power Five, yeah.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel's back out there. Oklahoma's moving on, I guess. I hear maybe Oregon. I don't know. McCord's the next after that. Will Rogers of Mississippi State. There's buzz about him going to Washington, maybe. Tyler Van Dyke was one of the early entries. More of a traditional dropback quarterback. Had some success early at Miami. Max Brosmer is the guy from New Hampshire that's already committed to Minnesota. Right after him was Grayson McCall. I'd be a Grayson McCall fan. I think he's a hell of a competitor down there. DJU, Nate Johnson out of Utah. I don't know why that guy's transferring. He just started there, it feels like, and had lots of potential.
Cam Rising's coming back.
Yeah, does Nate ever get to play?
Again, I know. For a seventh year
back,
or whatever.
Coming back again.
Jeez. The UNLV quarterback is in, Jade Maeva. Curtis Rourke from Ohio. Some Nebraska guys still on that coaching staff, obviously. And Curtis Rourke's just a winner down there at Ohio. I mean, that's a heck of a player. So a lot of good names there, I'll be honest with you. So hopefully we get one or two
I mean, honestly, for me, McCord makes the most sense only because he's has experience against the Big Ten competition as it is already. So it's more of, you know, it's I don't want to call it a lateral move because I don't want anyone to say I'm comparing Nebraska to Ohio State, but it's still within the Big Ten. And it would just be beautiful if, to see him out there performing against the Big Ten talent again. So that's just that's my feeling. You said pick one. That's my pick.
All right. All right. Yeah. Well, he's on the board. So. All right, lots of stuff to talk about, and that took us like 30 minutes. Good job, guys. But college football playoff, Rob, how pissed off are you?
Well, I mean,
just a sigh. That's all you can muster at this point.
Oh yeah,
I was actually. It's weird. I was like, I don't even. I was like illogically, like angry. Like it made no sense why I was so mad about Florida State not making the playoff. But I was angry, and I think Honky, and I wish he could be here, and I know he's doing some family stuff tonight, and you know, and he's just kind of like taking a step back for it all. You know, he's taking some personal time and whatnot. But for me, I would have to say that I think for me, it was just kind of like signified what looks to be the dying game of college football at this time. I mean, to say a 13-0 ACC team isn't good enough to get into the college football playoff, but 11-1 Alabama, who already lost to a team that they could potentially be playing in the championship game. Whoa. Like it just, I mean, for lack of a better way to put it. And if I had a bleep, it's bull beep. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it right now. And now I'm just getting angry again. So I'll see you guys later.
Boomer, to Rob's point, I mean, like, it, you know, I guess when it got announced, I mean, you were like, oh, they're going to try to justify to put two SEC teams in there. I'm like, they're not going to do that. But to your point, I think you tried to go in with as negative of a outcome as possible. So you weren't so pissed off. I mean, I was, I don't know about pissed off. I was a little surprised that they did it, because they had never done it before, right? I mean, they have not put a undefeated Power Five champion in the 14 playoff.
They let TCU in last year, and they got boat raced in the championship game. I mean,
well, they made the championship game, Rob.
Right, they made the championship game.
I think that's actually makes the argument of why you should put Florida State in, or same thing with Ohio State won with their third-string quarterback.
Florida State was a better team than TCU was last year.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's, I'm not even talking about better or worse at this point, is that we've known for a long time that technically speaking, how they've defined their criteria, and it was defined for them, I guess, was that they're supposed to find the four best teams, not the four most deserving. And I think this was the first time that we really saw that come to fruition. And I think it's angered a fraction of the college football fan base, because
98% of them.
Yeah. You know, minus the SEC, I guess, right? I don't know if that's 98%, Rob, but to your point, a large portion of it. Because, I mean, Florida State, they did everything they are supposed to do as a Power Five champion, supposedly with a conference that should have enough strength of schedule. They went and beat two SEC teams non-conference on the road. And because of their quarterback being injured, they aren't allowed to compete for the national championship. And that's under perception, right? Like they are perceived by that committee as not being able to compete for a national champion. Where TCU last year, to Rob's point, I guess in some weird way, proved they were able to beat Michigan in the semifinal and get to the championship game, right? I remember, I don't know how many years ago, Michigan State, I can't remember if it was the year they got to the playoff or it was one of the earlier years where they were pretty good. And I was sitting there talking to some Sparty fans at a bar late in the season. And they had one loss, and they were concerned about like, hey, we're probably not even going to get a chance to get in. And I'm like, well, the reality is like, if you just go undefeated as a Power Five, you'll definitely get in. They'll never keep you out, right? Well, that I can't say that any longer because they've done it. They've kept out a Power Five undefeated champion. Talon, your thoughts?
This is kind of right up my alley.
I saw you biting. You're ready to go. So I'm like,
I mean, it's you can't compare any other year to this year because there's really never been a year like this besides maybe the first year, maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Last year, you can't compare the TCU because Ohio State got in without a championship, just like TCU.
Yeah.
And TCU
was more like a default bid because they just didn't have, right? This year, we have had 17 that you could make an argument for.
And you want to go back to the Ohio State bid? Well, they went to the Big Ten championship game and beat a Wisconsin team 59-0.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just compare years. You have to look at context and everything. This year, I don't know how anyone can sit here and look at FSU right now and Alabama. I would love to have seen FSU win. I am a big Alabama hater. I don't like them, but they're a better football team. They beat the number one team in the country, and they kind of dominated the number one team in the country. They trailed in the first quarter and then the rest of the game.
To be clear, Talon, you agree with the criteria that they need to find the four best. Because I don't disagree with it. If you want to say that Alabama is a better team right now than Florida State, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you because you're probably
I don't think with a four-team playoff, you're probably never going to get the four best because if you're looking at the four best, you probably have to put in Georgia.
This is where the argument starts right there. It's like, if you truly, it's perception though. I don't know. Georgia didn't have that good of a strength of schedule, right? You know, who did they beat that was that good? Yes, talent wise, they have the most five stars. They have the best 3-year resume that you could find since Nebraska in the mid-90s.
If talent was a key indicator, then Nebraska should be a playoff team every year too. We have so much talent, but you know,
it's ridiculous, Rob. But
I'm not talking.
Rob, are you drunk already?
No, I haven't drank in a week. All right,
but I'm saying, I mean, the criteria there is best. And to your point, right there, if their job was to say best, it's their, it's the committee's right to say, I perceive this team better. And in reality, it's typically based off of talent and past performance, not even seasonal performance. Whereas why the people are so angry about this, including Robin Boomer, is that I think most college football fans don't want the four best. They'd actually like to say, I want to see the four most deserving. And it's very hard for them to say, I don't think Florida State didn't deserve a chance to compete for a national title this year.
So I want to kind of go back to Rob's point, or maybe it was you, David, where who have they beat, or Georgia, who have they beat? They blew out Ole Miss, who was top 10 at the time. They blew out a Kentucky
team. I don't know if Ole Miss is that good, Talon, to be honest with you.
But you have to go off the record. I mean, because and this is where I maybe
no, I don't. It's my perception. My perception is Ole Miss isn't that good.
Yeah, I mean, isn't this all perception? That's what we're talking about.
And
right?
You've seen Georgia's non-con schedule, right? I mean,
yeah,
they played UT Martin.
Georgia only beat Georgia Tech by how much?
I think it was eight. So
eight. Georgia Tech was horrible this year.
Yeah, they were 6-6. They were not good.
They had Jeff Sims last year at quarterback, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's UT Martin, I mean, it's Ball perception. State, and UAB. That was their rest of their
We could go back and forth on this. I think it's tough because if you look at if Bama loses that game, I don't even know if FSU still gets in necessarily because of the Texas argument and stuff like that. Because you know, they beat a Louisville team 13-6. Couldn't barely, I think they got two first downs.
16-6.
Style points. You know, but they struggled to get
with their third string quarterback.
But that is my point right there. So,
they
look
would
at
have
that
their
game,
second string quarterback back. What if they lied about Jordan Travis's injury?
Does anyone?
What if they made it look like he was going to be back for the playoffs?
And Alabama then, playing Auburn the week before.
It was just a lie.
Needed just complete luck to win that game. And that was a bad Auburn team.
Alabama
played South Florida earlier this year. Won, what?
And they needed a last-minute touchdown to win 17-3. They needed
a touchdown of 30 seconds left to make that 17-3. That was a garbage touchdown. That was a 10-3 game. I mean, if we're talking style points, everybody. No.
They got blown out by Texas at home.
Yes.
Blown out.
Pushed around by Texas.
Blown out to push, Rob.
They got pushed around, though.
Alabama never looked like they were going to win that game. To me,
is Jalen Milroe a better quarterback now or back then?
But it's the season. September counts.
So if we're going off of perception.
Apparently not, Dave.
If you're looking at perception and things like that, if you match up Alabama and Texas right now, I don't think Texas wins that game again. Not with how
Jalen Milroe. We may find out.
Right. But it's so tough.
I'm bookmarking that tweet right there. Telling you guys.
So we've got an Alabama supporter here and three FSU guys.
I just think all I would say is that
I guess, and we'll see what the 12-team playoff is going to solve this. We'd be arguing whether Florida State got jobbed because they didn't get a bye, opposed to having to have a home game versus the 12 seed, which would be like SMU or something. And it's a whole different conversation next year. And maybe it's not that big. It's the legacy of the 4-year team playoff is going to go down. Is that this committee felt like they was tasked to find the four best teams, and they felt like they had to put an Alabama in over Florida State. Alan, to your point, if it's just perception, you would put Georgia. I think Georgia is one of the four best teams out there. But I mean, that would have just caused more outrage. So they chose a middle ground and they put Alabama in and figured they could take the
heat. And I think that's what pisses a lot of people off about this. You know, even if we can argue best, you know, team or whatever, I think everyone realizes they went in to their decision making process wanting to make sure Alabama got in, and then they had to justify everything else around it.
That's how Texas got up to three.
Right, exactly. I mean, all those teams were behind Florida State, you know, prior to this.
And yeah.
All the precedents they had to break to make this happen were kind of ridiculous. Like you'd mentioned.
They should have dropped Florida State last week, the previous week.
Yeah, the quarterback's not any less hurt now than he was, you know, it was that week.
There's no reason why Florida State was 4 in the previous week.
Yeah. Makes they didn't sense. Do anything to say they should drop. They beat a Louisville team, like you said, with their third-string quarterback. Held them to 6 points. I know Kentucky beat Louisville the week before, but you know, apparently, like with Alabama and Auburn, rivalry in state games, or you throw the records out. But you know, I think Louisville still scored 31 points in that game. They have a good offense. Florida State was able to keep that in check and put themselves in a place to win that game, and that's what teams are supposed to do. I just think it's all the precedents they had to break, like you said, Power Five, you know, undefeated team not being allowed in. Moving not just one, but two teams that were, what, sixth and seventh, I think? Or were they
seventh and eighth? Alabama was eighth.
But, Boomer, there's a prime rib self-serve bar in the lobby.
Exactly. They had to hurry to get to that. But they had to jump two teams all that high in the playoff. And once they knew they had to put Alabama in, they had to put Texas in. They were not going to the charade would have been completely destroyed had they.
I'm sorry. Did anyone else see the Saturday Night Live skit this weekend on that, like, where that's what I was quoting, Dave, was it's four guys and there's one guy that was like literally sitting here making Boomer's argument like, this is complete BS, you can't do this, it's unprecedented, everything, making the logical argument, and they're like, come on, man, like, we've already been over this, there's no way we're leaving the SEC out, and they've got a prime rib bar out in the lobby at this hotel, we need it. Yeah, like, can we just get out there and do it?
They had a former Sports Illustrated writer who covered the Baltimore Orioles on the committee, so
yeah,
so good.
It had to be honest.
That's good. Yes, that's it. They actually said that in the skit too.
All right, well, we can talk about those forever, but maybe this should transition to we are going to a 12-team playoff next year. And we've talked a lot about transfer portal and NIL. How that all comes together is the NCAA president. What's his name, Boomer?
Was it Barker? Is that his last name? It's
Bob Charlie Barker?
No, is it Charlie?
Charlie
Barker. Charlie Barker. That's right. I was trying to think of what it was.
Charlie
it was
Barker, the Birdman? Really? Wait a second.
Yep.
Has a proposal out, sent out to all the schools. That we should restructure college football and NCAA in general, with a new division of programs that have ability to set up a trust fund of sorts, yeah. I guess, to pay
it's,
players.
It's not well, a new division. Yeah, it's
right. It's like it's like a subdivision.
They're calling it a subdivision of Division I schools, and their proposal, in a nutshell, is essentially they're going to allow what they call high resource programs. Anyone can join in on this. The schools have the opportunity, you know, we'll get to choose if they want to partake in this or not. But to be in this subdivision, whatever you want to call it, Division Zero, Division Dollar Sign, whatever you want to call it, is they'll start a trust for athletes, essentially. They have to put in a minimum of $30,000 per athlete. There's no maximum. There's no ceiling on what a team can put on this. And they have to be able to pay that to 50% of their athletes, 50% of which have to be earmarked towards female athletes to comply with Title IX. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part of it. And the details of how that trust gets paid out are kind of left up to the schools. Do you pay it out in one lump sum or every year, whatever, that sort of thing. They're also proposing eliminating any, you know, the NIL contact with the universities, that universities will be able to run NIL in-house and they can make their own NIL deals with players. So they'll basically remove all those restrictions. And then the other big part of this, which, you know, I think kind of slipped under the radar, but really when you think about it, is probably even more worrisome about it all, is that if you're in this subdivision, they'll be able to set their own rules in terms of scholarship limits and coaching size limits. If they even want limits, they could do away with those. And at the same time in all this, all these teams are still going to be part of Division I and competing with all the other schools that can't do this. So it's kind of a crazy scenario where you're really setting up the haves and have nots in college football.
That's what we can call the divisions, the haves and have
nots. Essentially, that's what it is. Yeah, there's going to be teams.
Legend leaders, haves and have nots.
Haves and have nots, essentially, is what it is. So they're all still going to be playing for the same championships, but you'll have scenarios where some teams will, you know, have their 85 scholarship limits and, you know, X number of coaches that they can have. And
each
you'll be playing other schools that'll have 150 kids on scholarship and 65 coaches.
Each team can opt in, but it's likely conference by conference.
Each school can make its own decision under this proposal. So you could have teams within the same conference that can and can't do it.
But conference may also then choose to reshuffle if they're like, hey, if you don't come along, we may not want to.
Which is a possibility in this. This could be a huge shakeup. You know, you combine this with the ACC teams getting pissed at the playoff, you could see a big shakeup.
Yeah.
This could be even more realigned. And then there's the question of the smaller, you know, conferences. There might be a few of the, you know, the MAC type schools or AACs that could afford this. You know, like an SMU has money. They got boosters up the yin yang that could do this.
Well, they're moving anyway.
They're moving in anyway. But, you know, those smaller schools that could do
Rice
this. But,
or whatever.
Yeah,
Can
Rice do this? The hell, would Northwestern even do this? I don't know. I mean,
yeah. No,
granted, they're blowing $800 million on a new stadium complex or whatever, so maybe they would do this. But, you know, is it Rutgers? I don't know. You know, a school like that, I don't have any idea.
Now,
you know.
I'll ask this boomer, and then I'll throw it open to Talon or Rob, whoever wants to jump on first. But is it fair to say this is an NCAA proposal? Is it possible that there is going to be a competing proposal by another group of teams that maybe think it's a different approach? Or do you think this is kind of like it and it will get refined?
I don't care, man. Can we just play football?
Boomer, I think Boomer might have the best answer. Then Rob, you can tell me that you don't care.
Well, I think this is, you know, people always like to, you know, attack the NCAA because they do make stupid decisions and do dumb things. But ultimately, it is an organization run by the schools. I mean, if you pull up their board of directors,
that's right.
You know, everybody on there is, you know, a member of the school, was a, you know, somebody on a school or a student athlete. I think the president of Georgia is on there, you know, on the committee right now. You know, president of Baylor, I think, is on there. So anything that the NCAA does come up with is ultimately, you know, an idea and a proposal by the schools in some way, shape, or form. I don't think the NCAA proposed this just out of whole cloth. You know, you see some people saying, oh, they're just doing this to try to keep football money in there. And, well, you know, maybe they are, but I think a lot of times schools use the NCAA as kind of convenient shield to pitch unpopular ideas and take the blame for a lot of things that go wrong in sports. And I think this is another one of those scenarios. And this may be just a proposal. You know, you're not going to pitch this if you're a MAC team or anything like that. This isn't one of your ideas. This is definitely something that I think came from you know, Power Five type schools, just an idea like this. You know, we've heard Trev Alberts talk about this, you know, many times where he's talked about they're been planning for NIL to go in-house at Nebraska. I mean, that's been something they've been planning for years. So this is not something that just came out of the blue, I think, for most of the athletic directors out there. So I think they've been talking about this and planning about it. And so I think this is probably like a test run, kind of a see how everyone reacts to this. And, you know, if there's schools in the NCAA that refuse to do this, aren't going to do this, I think this might be the opportunity that those schools will take to break away from the NCAA and form their own thing. I think ultimately is what might come of this. That's just my opinion on this. I don't have any hard evidence to back it up. I think it's what this is, kind of a test run to see how the rest of the sport reacts to it. And you'll see the Habs use this as a chance to break away and start their own thing. So.
Yeah. Well, I already know Rob's opinion. So Talon, what are your thoughts?
No, I completely agree with Boomer. I think we're heading to where we're probably not, or some teams are going to stay in the NCAA and a lot of teams are going to leave the NCAA. I think that's kind of where we're heading in the next 10, 15 years, maybe even sooner, you know, where we're going to break away from it. Yeah. I like what Boomer said, is it's the schools doing it, but I think this was kind of like a test run, like he said, but I think we are going to have an NCAA-less football, maybe even more sports. But yeah, it's the NCAA makes a lot of bad decisions. I think they've proven it over and over again. It hasn't been great for a long time. And I think with NIL and all the money that's coming in into sports now, I think that's just where we're heading. So I completely agree with what Boomer's saying.
And I mean, maybe I missed this in your explanation, Boomer, but like if they did actually break away, let's say this proposal doesn't work and they do something else, what happens to the other sports in that sense, right? Because, I mean, you have the NCAA basketball tournament and all these other sports.
Right.
I mean,
that's
where everything blows up, right? I mean,
right. Geez. That's a possibility, too. Do they just try to move football outside of this?
Yeah.
You could. I mean,
it feels like this is almost a. To your point of like this being a test, right? You know, it's right. Like a lip balloon here. It's like it kind of does allow football. The only thing it's missing is the separate championship, right? You right. know, I've made the argument that I feel like if you did have the haves and the have nots, whatever you want to call it, right? That I mean, I think even though it wouldn't be as big, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that. I mean, considering the appetite we have for college football and football in general. That people wouldn't watch a playoff that is made up of teams from the Mountain West and Conference USA and et cetera. I mean, I'd be intrigued to see Colorado State trying to win a national championship at just a slightly lower level. It's not like FCS, you know. I mean, these schools have huge profiles, well-known, mascots, all those type of things where people like know these teams, Boise State, all that type of stuff. And if they don't want to pay the money to do what we're talking about with the Big Ten, the SEC,
or can't pay the money, I think, in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, I still think there's a market for that and a TV contract that could actually be, you know, lucrative for them. But
it's possible. But you know, there is. You know, there's a prestige hit that goes with that. I mean, we see what's happening to like Oregon State and Washington State right now, you know, getting.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear you. I'm not saying it's perfect. Clear, you know, and I wouldn't want to go down to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, for goodness sakes, we watch a bunch of FCS playoff games now. Like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we were not watching the FCS playoffs. Now we do.
True.
Right.
But, yeah, there is that.
Well, that's just because ESPN Plus, right? I mean,
well, true. That helps too. That we've got it all on
different streaming services.
But yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see where this goes. I don't think this is tenable. This is one of those things that if they actually did this, you know, there would be so many internal contradictions with college football because it doesn't make sense how you could have the haves playing the have-nots in this case. I mean, it's such an imbalance. It's basically like if you're playing like your normal schedule, like the SEC does, where you play, you know, an FCS team and a couple of group of five teams and maybe one more in your non-con, you might as well be playing all FCS schools at that point. You're going to be so overwhelming in terms of resources, scholarships, coaches, that you're not really playing on the same field anymore. So
yeah,
Yeah, it's just that, and that's one of the worst parts about this proposal.
And even with like realignment in the next couple of years, who's to say we're even going to be seeing those have and have nots play, even if they're in the NCAA, with how schedules are going to be and you know, flight schedules and things like that, and how big conferences are going to get. You know, who knows, you know, if the ACC is going to stay afloat for however long. You know, I know there's talks of these big schools. Yeah,
maybe Florida State's out, right?
Right.
They'd like to get out today if they could, I'm sure.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, who's to say that, you know, there's only not going to be three super conferences. And at that point, you're not even going to have enough room to schedule those lower conferences. So I think it's going to probably be how it's going to be. And I mean, who really, I think most people like watching those games because they like to see their team get warmups and things like that. But are they really excited to watch those games necessarily with the blowouts that kind of happen from them most of the time?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a different, I don't know if it's a different game, but it's a different mentality of I'm trying to go undefeated, which we still have that built into college football to where,
well, not anymore, so that's okay too. They blew that up too. So,
that's right. You know. That's right. That's
well, next year it doesn't matter.
I do want to bring this up. I don't know if we had this up earlier or not, but producer Skip had this great comment where he's like, if these committees are so smart at projecting the order of all the best teams, then why has the number one team only won the playoff three times? That's a great point, Skip. Yep. I mean, clearly, the number one seed is not won every single year. So apparently they don't actually know who the best team is, even with the four they choose, right?
No one's saying the committee's smart. They should have started from an 8-team playoff or a 12-team playoff from the very start of it.
The committee wasn't given that option.
Yeah, that was
no.
I'm just saying,
you know, it from the very start of this, it should have been 8-12 teams, because with four teams in, you're always going to leave out possibly. You're always going to leave one power conference out, and it's
strange how they couldn't make that work. You know, so many years. You know, four slots for five power schools plus everyone else. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, now we only have four power five schools, and we still
can't make it work.
Or now we'll change it.
Yeah. Well, and like this has been such a, and I think with NIL and things like that and the transfer portal, this has been really the only year where there's been this much controversy over what's going on, because the last couple of years, it really didn't matter who, maybe last year was a little different, but I mean, in years past, it really hasn't mattered who's going to get in, because we've all known there's only going to be two teams that are even have a shot at winning a national championship, whether there's other teams getting in or not.
And I think they just kind of got lucky the last few years too, that you haven't had these kind of scenarios pop up more than they have. I mean,
they've
lucked out a lot previously, but I think
now we're at the most level playing field we've ever been at through all these conferences is really what's going on. And you can pick hairs, and you can, and maybe the resume isn't great and games, you know, it's tough to decide. I'm with you guys. I wouldn't have been upset with FSU being in at all. I would have completely understood if they put FSU in. I just think with what Bama done, you know, at the end of the year, beating Georgia and things like that, it would have been very difficult to keep them out of that. And with the Auburn argument, I mean, everyone played someone close this year. So
that was about
everyone
as you could play
won
a
on a fourth and 31.
Right. Yeah, they should have lost.
Worst defensive call ever in the history of college football. I mean,
how do you rush on a fourth and 31? My God.
You rush two with a spy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes
rush
no
four,
sense.
That's all you need to do. You know, it would have been done.
Or if you're going to play a spy at that point, why not just take that guy completely out of that situation and put him in the back?
Well, just in case the quarterback ran for 31 yards, I guess. I don't know what they were thinking, but who the hell knows?
I mean, if your quarterback's running for if you're letting a quarterback run for 31 yards for a touchdown with eight guys back there, you should have lost the game anyway. Just
pretty
like,
much, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
pretty much the case.
Yeah. We could pick hairs all day. I mean, it's a tough situation. And again, I think
it's really not. Florida State was undefeated.
So,
yeah, they really had to put it out in the world.
It's really not that.
It wasn't a decision. And you had a head-to-head matchup between your other two choices. That was so easy, and they couldn't.
Florida State was undefeated.
There would have still been a revolt if Alabama didn't get in.
Well, yeah, but look what happened the last time Alabama revolted.
But screw the SEC.
It would have been the SEC conferences. You know where they're just
all enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean that's thank you, Dave. You made
That's really what it is. All right. SEC would have been pissed off. And we would be like, hey, this is great. Finally, a non-SEC.
What are they going to do? Play two non-conference games at the end of the season?
Yeah, they'll schedule another FCS team in November. That'll show us.
I mean, so did FSU, though. They played North Alabama. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's true. All right, guys. Anything else on this? To Talon's point, we could talk about it all night, but it's probably not a very productive podcast. You guys want to just randomly talk about bowl season a little bit, even though Nebraska isn't in it?
No.
So Rob is down on the bowl season.
Yep.
Boomer has to be excited about the Cheez-It Bowl and all the random.
Maybe the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I just want to see a coach get a big can of mayonnaise dumped on his head. But other than that, I mean.
Well, there's some great bowl names this year. I mean, you got the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl, the Starco Brands LA Bowl hosted by Gronk. That's one I particularly
hosted
enjoy.
By Gronk.
Gronk
is like he had some sort of sponsorship deal with the bowl. Wow.
Exactly. So yeah, you threw that one in there. Yeah, there's some great ones this year. Yeah. Military Bowl presented by GoBowling.com. You know, that's always a good one. Yeah. So. Well, and the Pop Tarts Bowl, as producer Skip mentioned earlier, so that's a fun one. And you know, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. It's not Frosted Flakes. It's just a mascot. So.
Yeah. So, I love the Sun Bowl.
Let me ask one question. If FSU Georgia play. And if FSU gets completely blown out by Georgia in the bowl game, is there a different argument to be made that maybe Alabama should have been put in?
No, because
just because it's bowl season and transfers and all that stuff.
Well, and if the SEC loses, they just didn't want to be there. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it might happen. Georgia's a two touchdown favorite, right? But I mean, again, perception wise, Georgia would be favored against all the other teams, including Alabama, in the playoff. Right now, Georgia, Vegas would put them a favorite against all four of those teams.
Right.
I mean, also Washington was a 9.5-point dog to Oregon last Friday night, and they're like, F you guys, we're not, right? And so I just don't know, right? I mean, in every circumstance is different, right? Florida State versus Michigan, maybe Florida State can, defense can actually hang with them. I think we've got one of these. I think Vegas Jared mentioned this actually. I think he says Florida State's defense would give Michigan offense all they could handle. And then we might have a situation where Florida State's in the championship game and it's a Washington, Texas. And I don't know, right? You know, I mean, it's deserving versus best. I can clearly see where you're telling me the Florida State, minus Jordan Travis isn't one of the four best teams right now, but it's half improved on the field. And I think our point about deserving is that Florida State did everything they were supposed to do, but they had the chance to prove, even with a backup quarterback, that they could compete for a national title. And that committee decided they knew better, right? That's how we see it.
I can see your guys' way. It makes sense. I mean, either way you look at it, I completely agree with what you guys are saying, and FSU is probably one of the most deserving teams, and you could even say maybe they probably a top seven, eight team in the country, no matter who's playing quarterback for them with the defense they have. So I completely understand. I think from the very get go, the playoff has been like what Boomer was saying. They've gotten off easy. Probably this has been going on 10, 11 years now, and they've gotten off easy maybe 9 out of 11 times, 9 out of 10 times. So we haven't seen anything like this. And maybe if it was, you know, the years were different. Yeah, I don't know. But
I wouldn't have been opposed. Yeah, if we're just booking this stuff for entertaining value on TV, it might as well just become pro wrestling. So that's what we're doing at that point. So
booking for entertainment. Well, and that's what makes it tough is maybe if the playoffs the last 7 years have been more competitive besides last year, maybe it's a different result. But when you see these teams getting blown out, I'm sure it makes it difficult for that committee to, you know, do. Yeah.
I mean, last year's semifinal games were great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It was just the championship game that ended it. But then semifinals were all-time classics. I mean, they were awesome.
Yeah, they were one of the best.
probably the best playoff semifinals we've had.
Yep. All right. Yeah. So we'll save the Bulls for some other time, if at all. But I just happened to look at the Big Ten Bulls really quick for the heck of it. First one on there was Missouri versus Ohio State. That opened up at Ohio State -6.5. Mm-hmm. It is now Missouri -1.5. So Kyle McCord is worth 8 points because McCord left. Yep. Worth 8 points to Ohio State. So
I think that's a fair thing, too, because Missouri is not a bad team this year, and they can score.
Great defense. Great defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Wisconsin, LSU. LSU's favored by 10. I probably would take that. Tennessee, Iowa. Tennessee's 8.5. Over-under is at 36. It actually moved up to 36.5.
Wow. When's the last time in Iowa over-under has been that high?
Yeah. That's the rabbit and hare, right? Can Tennessee score at all? Can Iowa score at all? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a better question. Yeah.
Michigan is favored by 1.5 versus Alabama. Utah, Northwestern. Utah is favored by 7.
Yeah.
Minnesota is favored by 3.5 versus Bowling Green.
It's a revenge game for them, isn't it? Didn't they lose to Bowling Green last year or year before?
Ooh, that sounds right. Miami's favored over Rutgers by a couple points. Penn State favored over Ole Miss by 3.5. Mm-hmm.
And I'll be curious to watch that one.
Penn State favored over Maryland by a couple. So
yeah, so got a lot of dog games for the Big Ten this year. So we'll see how they do. So.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that's not atypical for Big Ten bowl matchups, considering we typically put a team in the playoff plus a New Year's Six. And then everybody gets slotted higher than what they really should be at. So, and then Minnesota gets in at 5-7. So,
And I think Rob is out of the block this year. So,
Boomer, run of show. Did I forget anything?
No, I think that was pretty much what we had.
I don't think
we
want to talk about Nebraska basketball yet. We're going to talk about them when they win.
Let's go into the game. Yeah, we're just going to pretend that last game didn't happen and move on from it.
What game? It doesn't. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, you know, they've beaten Creighton before and didn't go to the tournament, so let's not worry about
that.
They need to go beat Minnesota tomorrow night up at the barn and then get going, right? So they've got other Power 5 wins out there here in the month of December that are still attainable. So let's focus on that. Producer Skip can enjoy his 13th ranked undefeated Colorado State Rams, who did beat Creighton handily. We can be jealous of them. So, all right, guys, anything else? We're ready.
I think we're good.
Let's get out of here with some parting shots. And I will go with, let's go with Rob.
Well, I mean, my parting shot is that I think you guys all know how I feel about this college football playoff. I'm honestly not even excited to watch it after that, which sounds really stupid, but in some ways it just feels like a giant sham to me. And I mean, I probably will watch it, but it feels like a sham. It feels like we're not really getting what we should be getting there. We're getting what like a bunch of people in a room assumed would be the best thing. And we all know what they say about assumptions. It just makes an ass out of UNM. So,
well, I can't wait till we have this argument next year about the 12th seeded team and the
13th. Well, it's going to be Nebraska. So,
hey, if we can get in, I'll
see Rob. Jeez, that's all you think of him next year. So.
I mean,
not drinking enough Kool-Aid.
You know,
that's right.
Once
Kyle McCord's on the roster and we start 7-0.
Yeah, we can start talking then. All right. I'm still hurting a little bit over those last four games. So
we all are, Rob. Yeah, we all are.
You know?
Yep.
All right, Talon. It's my parting shot. Okay.
Well, Rob, are you done with it? It's been going on for 3 minutes.
Well, Honky's not here. Somebody has to take his place.
Okay. Well, you've done your due. You've done it successfully. Talon, what do you got?
Parting shot. I'm just hoping for a Michigan Washington matchup in the national championship game.
That would be fun. I think it'd be awesome.
I'll take Washington when they're not natty, but I don't think they'll beat Michigan. So
it is amazing that we've got two Big Ten teams essentially next year, two Big Ten versus two SECs in this final four. And you look at the top 15 is just loaded with future Big Ten or existing Big Ten SEC teams. I mean, it is dominated by those two conferences, and that is the future, right? I mean,
yeah, the SEC not
gonna change. I don't think. Yeah, there's no, why you got to get out of the ACC. I think if you're FSU or Clemson or Miami,
You can consider it a power four, but really it's going to come down to the SEC and Big Ten by most years.
Yeah.
They're loaded with talent and the teams they got. It's going to be difficult to compete with those two conferences. But yeah, I'll take I'm praying for a Washington national title.
All right. All right. It'd be fun to see a West Coast national champion, right? You know, it's been a while. It's been a while. And Kalen DeBoer is from Sioux Falls and was a Husker fan when he was a kid. So, you know.
Look at that.
Boomer, let's get us out of here.
Well, not much else to add. I think we covered a lot of ground today. Just want to remind everyone that college volleyball is actually going to be on an actual network, you know, on Thursday. So everyone can enjoy that. I mean, granted, they have Nebraska playing at 1 p.m. on a Thursday, but I guess beggars can't be choosers.
Take off from work.
Yeah, so just call in sick. Just, you know, your boss is probably not listening to the show anyway, so just go ahead.
Probably watching the game, too.
Yeah,
my boss is in Omaha, and he's a Husker fan.
Exactly, and it's the cold and flu season, so they'll believe it. So just go ahead and, you know, take the day off and just tell them the Redcast that it was okay. So it'll be on ESPN2, and that'll be nice to see. And, yeah, everything's looking good, and let's keep that volleyball rolling. So go Big Red there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Great stuff. That was a fun show, spirited conversation. Appreciate everyone's perspectives, except for Rob. I really didn't really appreciate anything he brought to the show. But, you know, that's
– You guys agreed with each other a ton. So, hey.
there's
progress going on here.
I guess that's where you could say is that's why Dave's the host, is because he doesn't bring much to the show. So.
I don't have to. That's not my role on the show, Rob. All right, guys. Enjoyed it. Rob, I'm looking forward to your show next week with Rex Burkhead. It should be awesome.
Yes, yeah, send me your questions, listeners, and I'd be more than happy to ignore them. I mean, ask them for you.
That's right. And we'll see if we have another RedCast after that before we hit the holidays. But for now, let's call that another Go Big RedCast.
Go Big Red.
A Herd at Sports Network production.
All right. You guys have a good night.